Just sit back and relax. You'll be royally entertained, for it's time for Hollywood's Open House. Presenting Hollywood's Open House. Starring Enric Matriguera, his violin and his orchestra, the radio comic star Peter Donald, our lovely singing star Patricia Gilmore, and yours truly, Jim Amici. And our open house guest, one of Hollywood's finest dramatic actors, Peter Lorre. Host Jim Amici bidding you welcome once more to Hollywood's Open House. Now, on this session...
Jim, excuse me, please, Jim.
Enric Matriguera, don't you know I've started to introduce our guests?
That's exactly what I want to know. Who are these guests?
Well, there's Peter Donald.
Oh, him I know. He's a very funny man. He talks with dialect.
And our special guest is Peter Lorre.
That's what I thought. So long.
Enric, come back here. Come back here.
Jim, where Peter Lorre is, I am not.
Enric, I asked Peter Lorre to come over just to cheer you up.
Cheer me up? Jim, don't you know? Mr. Lorre might kill me.
Well, maybe I need cheering up, too. Who's that knocking?
My knee.
Why, it's Peter Lorre. Come in. Come in, Peter.
Thank you. How are you today? So what's wrong? What's wrong, Mr. Madrigueras?
I feel miserable.
Well, that won't last long.
Why not?
Well, I'm here to put you out of your misery.
Yes, yes. Peter's here to entertain you, Enric. Peter, Enric's afraid of you. Can you imagine?
Oh, everyone is so mean to me. They say I kill people and I frighten them. They say I like to see blood. I do, but why talk about it?
I wish I were dead.
Wishing will make it so.
Peter, where'd you learn to be such a horror man?
Oh, well, Jim, I guess I just always wanted to be a horror man.
Isn't that funny? I always wanted to be a fighter. I always wanted to box people and lay them out.
Well, I'm just the opposite. I like to lay the people out first and then box them. What's the matter? Something wrong?
No, nothing wrong, nothing wrong. My necktie, a little too tight, I guess.
Oh, that's too bad. Let me help you with it. And you don't trust me. Nobody loves me. You see, I'm just a happy, normal boy, Enric. You are such a nice fellow, too, and you have a wonderful, kind heart.
Oh, Mr. Lorre, will you please cut it out?
In due time, in due time.
So now, Enric, you go right back to your men in the band and to the lady who sings with the band. Then we can hear Patricia Gilmore's musical comment on the way things have turned out, which comment is good, good, good.
Good, good, good. That's you, that's you. Nice, nice, nice. That's you, that's you. Fine, fine, fine. That's you, that's you. Good, good, good. That's you, that's you. Your tasty lips are sweeter than a lollipop. And every time I kiss you, how I hate to compliment to give you. That's you. Nice, that's you. Yum, 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 that's you. Good, that's you. I never went to Eton University, therefore I have a limited vocabulary, and so I use the language that I have on hand while making love to you on your veranda. That's you. That's you. Fine. That's you. Good.
Good.
Sweet.
Hey.
Yum.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's you.
Now to turn from the ridiculous to the subnormal, there comes bounding out of the reception room into the parlor with elephantine grace that man, Peter Donald.
Hey, Peter, how about telling us your story about the woman singer?
Well, this woman had always been very stage-struck, and she saw in the paper they were casting singers for a new show. So she shows up at the audition, and finally the director gets to her, and he's interviewing her. He said, now, what are your qualifications for this position as a singer?
She said, well, I'm a very, very talented lady. I've been studying for years. And my music professor says that I have a very peculiar quality, a rare quality to my voice. It reminds him sometimes of poems.
He says, you mean lily palms?
She says, no, frog palms. Perhaps his brother. She says, but I want to be in the show.
Well, he says, all right. He says, sing something. So she starts singing, and of course it's terrible, but she's loud, and she gets louder instead of better, and finally she finishes.
She said, well, do you think you can do anything with my voice?
Well, he said, I don't think that I could do anything with your voice here for this show, but I'm going to recommend you to the Acme Company.
She said, oh, Acme, is that an opera company?
He says, no, it's a pickle factory. With that voice, you could let the workers know when to go to lunch. This happened over in Brooklyn, and this girl, Sadie DeKalb, goes into the local delicatessen. It's run by an old fella in there by the name of Hermann Schultenheimer. So she walks in there.
She says, hello, Mr. Schultenheimer. He says, oh, Sadie, good afternoon. He says, you are certainly looking scrumptious this afternoon. He says, you know, you're looking in the pink. You're in the pink. She says, oh, really? How do you know? Is my slip showing again? She says, never mind. I came in because I'm giving a party tonight for some of my friends, and I want to order some supplies. I'm going to need 6 cans of exasperated milk and 2 pounds of congratulated sugar. And then I need some little snacks to save a sort of canapes. She says, what do you got in the way of cheese?
Well, he says, please, nothing gets in the way of cheese. You can smell it all over. We got all kinds here. He says, I got a nice American cheese, and I got also camembert, and I got also roquefort.
You know, you talk as if you got a loose washer somewhere. He says, I don't want those cheeses. What else do you got?
Well, he says, I got a beautiful Swiss cheese. Oh, I got the most wonderful Swiss cheese. And also, I got a couple pieces Limburger.
She says, yes. You know, that's always puzzled me. I've always wondered.
He says, you wondered what?
She says, I always wondered, why is it that Swiss cheese has all the holes when it's the Limburger needs the ventilation?
I just told you that because it was true. I really mean it. There's a moral in that, but speaking of having trouble, here's a little quickie about a traveling salesman. Now, this is really, it's about a traveling salesman. He goes around selling the Mickey Mousey sleepy suities for kiddies. I think some of you mothers know the slogan, if you want your kiddie to sleepy, give him a Mickey, you know. So anyway, one day he was traveling, and he hit a small town, a very, very crummy little town, one hotel there. Squalid, awful hotel. and they showed him up to a dingy little cold room, and it's freezing in there. The mice are on skis. It's a terrible place. Ugh. So right away, the salesman sent for the manager of the hotel. Manager came up. He said, I beg your pardon, but are you the gentleman who complained?
Certainly, says, listen, my fancy schmancy friend with the uptown manners and the downtown toupee. He says, I asked you for a room. And what did I got? What did I got? An igloo. Look at this. What's the matter? I had more boys slept here. It's freezing cold. I can't sleep here.
Manager said, well, he said, if the room is too cold for you, sir, I'll send up some kindling.
He said, you'll send watling.
Said, kindling, kindling, my dear sir. Don't you know kindling is small wood? Like a yearling is a small horse. Sapling is a small tree. Duckling is a small duck.
He says, ho-ho. He says, now I got you. And I also got a great name for this hotel.
He said what?
He said a dumpling. Thank you and good luck.
At this moment, the portals of the music room of Hollywood's open house are thrown open. The power of many spotlights focuses on our star maestro, Enrique Madriguera, and the sweet strains of his violin fill the air with the hauntingly beautiful Estrellita. Just a moment, we'll return to Hollywood's Open House, starring Peter Lorre. And now back to Peter Lorre, Peter Donald, and yours truly, Jim Amici.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, merely napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping, rapping at my chamber door. Only this, and nothing more.
In the dim reaches of the early 19th century, a time only recently freed of revolution and war, a dark genius spoke darkly in the language of literature, of things and shapes horrid, encountered in the labyrinthian ways of the soul. He'd been a soldier, he was now a poet, and he waited his years for the sinister visitors who tapped at his chamber door. The generations who read Edgar Allan Poe were glad enough to know that by closing the book, they were done with his masked and misty visitors. But in our time, another genius arose. A genius of the dark, who in one tremendous characterization served notice that bookends could no longer keep the mighty terrors of man's mind. He's Peter Lorre, and his notice to the world was a picture called M. You yourselves have witnessed his triumphs, and no matter what he's cast in, his performance is always breathtaking, perfect. And since we believe that Mr. Lorre is the only living artist who can bring to life a terrifying character of the poet's imagination, we welcome to Hollywood's Open House the dark genius of Poe and the even darker genius of Lorre. Hollywood's Open House is proud to present Mr. Peter Lorre in Frank Wilson's adaptation of Poe's famous masterpiece, The Telltale Heart, as originally performed on the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yes, it's true. I had been nervous, very, very nervous, and I am, but why do you say that I'm mad? Oh, no. The disease had sharpened my senses, not destroyed them. I heard all things in heaven and in the earth, and I heard many things in hell. How then am I mad? Observe how calmly I can tell the whole story. Oh, I loved the old man. He had never wronged me. I didn't want his gold. I think it was his eye. Yes, it was his eye. One of them was like that of a vulture. A pale, blue eye with a film over it. Whenever it fell upon me, my blood ran cold. Then I knew I must kill him and get rid of that terrible eye forever. Every night at midnight, I turn the latch of his door and open it. Oh, so gently. Then, when I had made an opening, I put in a dark lantern, all closed, so that no light shone out. And then, I thrust in my head. I moved it very slowly, so that I would not wake him. Then, I undid the lantern cautiously. Oh, so cautiously. I opened it just so much that one piercing ray held upon his vulture eye. And this I did for 7 long nights. But I found the eye always closed, and so it was impossible to do the work. For it was not the old man who was at me. But his keep eye! But on the eighth night, I was more than usually cautious. A watch's minute hand
move much more quickly than did mine. To think that there I was, opening the door, little by little, and even not even to dream of my secret thought.
I heard him move. Now you may think that I drew back. Oh, no. I kept pushing. Steadily. Then he cried out, "Who's there?"
And then, for 1 hour, I waited. I did not move. I knew he was listening to the death watches in the wall. I waited and waited until I couldn't hear him lie back, so I opened the lantern just a little. Oh, so little. Until one single dim ray shot out from the crevice and full upon his vulture eye. It was open, wide open, and I grew furious as I gazed upon it. I saw it with perfect distinctness. All a dull blue with a hideous veil over it, and that chilled the very marrow of my bone. But I could not see his face. I could not see his body, for I had directed the ray as if by instinct precisely upon a damn spot.
I told you what you mistake for madness is only the extreme sharpness of my senses.
I could hear it. The low, down, quick sound. The sound a watch makes when covered with cotton. I knew that sound, and it beat me into a rage, like a drum beating a soldier to courage. I tried to keep quiet, not to move, to keep the lantern gleaming on the evil eye. But his fear grew worse, and his heart beat faster and louder and faster and louder and louder. They'll hear it beyond the wall. The neighbors will hear his heartbeat beyond the wall. I must stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
There, it's almost done. Oh, yes, his heart still beats, but they cannot hear it now. They cannot hear it beyond the wall. He's dead. His terrible eye will trouble me no more. No more forever. You see, I'm not mad. I know exactly what needs to be done. Oh, I'm very clever and wise, and there's time. No, not too much time. It's later than I thought, and dawn will come soon. Oh, I must get rid of him. I must put him somewhere in this room. See? It was so easy to put him under the three planks in the floor. No human eye, not even his vulture eye, could detect anything wrong now. There was nothing to wash out, no stain of any kind, no possible clues. I was too clever for that. 4 o'clock. It's still dark as midnight. Oh, good, that's good. I worked faster than I thought. What is that? Who? What does it matter? Why must I be afraid now? Just open the door and let him in. Let him in. Well, you have searched the house now, you three gentlemen of the police, you see, there was nothing. Huh? The shriek, my neighbor, well, that was my own. I screamed in a dream. I had a nightmare. the old man. I told you he's gone to the country. This is his very own chamber. And see, look, his treasures are all here. And they are untouched. See how silly it is? Oh, forgive me. You're tired from searching. Oh, please sit down, gentlemen. Forgive me. Please rest before you go. I'll sit on this little chair. Oh, but it was creaking boards. Well, gentlemen of the police, you're satisfied now? Certainly, if I were guilty of something, I should not be so calm. I should not be here at all. No, I should not be here at all, should I? It's very funny, is it not? Yes, it's too bad you had to come out on so cold a night. Huh? Why? The matter? No, there's nothing. I was shaking my head. No. There is a ringing in my ears. Maybe from being awake, so suddenly a ringing in my... You're smiling. You know something? You are hearing something? Oh, mighty God! You can hear it too? Louder! 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 You are laughing at me? You're laughing at my horror! You're listening to it. Beat! Louder! And louder! It is true. A tear up the planks. Here, tear them up. It's the beating of his hideous heart.
Thank you, Peter Lorre. Peter, I hope you know that the tradition of Hollywood's open house is to come back again, and soon. So, with Madrigera's own farewell signature adios, this visit to Hollywood's Open House comes to an end. Hollywood's Open House is produced under the direction of Ray Green, with special music by Jack Belasco. This is Jim Amici inviting you to Hollywood's Open House at this same time next week.